Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Father's Day. We are blessed beyond measure to have the greatest father ever, and his name is Jehovah. We are blessed. Hallelujah. So thanking God for our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be his name. Thy kingdom come. Hallelujah. Thy his will be done. So let's just go to that Matthew word this morning and pray to our Father who is in heaven. So let's go back and join me. I ask you to join me this morning in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to pray the Father's Prayer this morning because it is what a great prayer, and it's a prayer that will get you through when you don't have a physical father, but you have a heavenly father. We will always have a heavenly father. Because he was there at the beginning, and he will be there at the end. He will be there in eternity. And we are blessed beyond measure to say thank you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for loving us. You know, we have to learn to pray like Jesus said, pray. You know, and teach your children to pray the Father's Prayer. My very, very first sermon that I ever did was the Father's Prayer. And it touched me because in the prayer it says, thy will be done. God's will is not always ours. God's time is not always ours. What God expects of us, he expects of us. We need to just do it, as the Nike Swish says, just do it. Just follow God and watch him work in your life. Watch him love you more than anything. You know, when Jesus taught us to pray, you know, he taught us to love each other first and foremost. He taught us not to judge each other. He taught us to be kind. He taught us to not get tired of doing what's right. And I did give you chapter 7, but the Father's Prayer, chapter 6, and I'm sorry, I was looking at something else. But anyway, let's go to the Father's Prayer and pray with me this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil or the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And, you know, I know there are those that were saying, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive our those that trespass against us. That's not the way it's written. You know, we have gone away from the way it's written, and the word tells us not to add to or take from. And so when you hear, and forgive us our trespasses, that is not prayer in verse 14. Because in verse 14 it tells us, but if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So just a reminder that as we go into our word today, what was lost will be found in God's time, you know, in your daddy's time. You know, our dads are there. All you have to do is call on him. Our dad is always there. Father God in heaven, again, we come to you today praying your prayer, Father. Your will be done in our lives. Our hopes in the future, may they be based on what you put in our hearts, God. But we want to follow you to the ends of the earth and beyond. But you are our daddy, God. You've been there from before we were born. You are the one that breathed the breath of life into each and every one of your children. So, Father God, I lift up this word this morning, asking you, Lord, to increase as I decrease. Hide me in the safety of your loving arms, O God. Hide me in your wings. Hide me in the cliff of the rock. For I am your child, and, Lord God, I need you more than anything. I need you, Father God, increasing as I decreasing, guiding and leading every step of the way. For, Lord God, you are my strength. You are my redeemer. And, Lord, I lift up the names of those fathers that have passed on, those fathers that were there for their children but have gone on to glory with you. Lord God, I ask that those fathers have instilled in their sons and daughters a love for you. And I thank you, Lord God, for the father that raised me. I thank you for Andy Anderson. I thank you for him being a great father figure, a man of God who loved me and my mom and my godmother and loved us all because he was just a good man. Thank you for him, oh God. And I thank you, Lord, for all the men in my life that have poured into me. I thank you for Paul Cavill. And I thank you for my father-in-law, Richmond B. Smith. I thank you, Lord God, for the husband that you gave me who was a great father to my children, Richmond J. Smith. And I thank you for my brothers and brother-in-laws and all those that are in my family, men of God, doing what they're called to do. So, Father God, I ask you to bless dads today. On this Father's Day, let us recognize that fathers are important. And, Lord God, we thank you for your son who died for us on Calvary's cross, not because he had to, but because he came for his father and in his father's image. In Jesus' name, we pray, lifting up dads, lifting up this word, and giving you honor, glory, and praise, O God. Amen. Let's get into our word, and we're going to talk about a little king. You know, this young king was 8 years old when he came into his kingdom, when he came into being the king. You know, and I know, an 8-year-old does not know much. But this 8-year-old, like Samuel, was a blessed child who understood the importance of the word. So he was obviously educated because his name was Josiah. And Josiah was an awesome young man. You know, unfortunately, as his father, he kind of messed up when he got a little older. But we're going to go back and see what this baby did that changed the course of Judah, changed the course of what they were doing. He went and found the word of God because God's word is important, and what needs to be found will be found in God's time. And remember, they've been through a bunch of stuff, and now they are rebuilding the temple again. And they're going through, you know, yeah, you know, when something happens, a fire happens, or you go through and you have some destruction things going, and you're trying to find stuff. Sometimes you find it, sometimes you don't. But in this case, what is found is more precious than life. So let's get into our word. Please join me this morning in 2 Kings chapter 22. through chapter 26, I believe. Old Testament today. We will be not be here together on Monday. I will be traveling, but we will be back on Tuesday. And then we'll be back to our normal schedule. So this is what the Word of God says in 2 Kings 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah and Bozak. And he did what was what? Right in the sight of the Lord. Can y'all say hallelujah? Praise the Lord. He was a king that did what was right in the sight of the Lord, because he was a descendant of a whole bunch of kings that did wrong. And as we continue, it says this, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Come on now. Now it came to pass in the 11th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the scribe, the son of Azaliah. Shaphan was scribe to the son of Azaliah and the son of Meshullam to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah that he may count the money which has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people, and let him deliver it into the hands of those doing the work, who are the overseers in the house of the Lord. Let them give it to those who are in the house of the Lord doing the work to repair the damages of the house, to carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hone stone to repair the house. He was repairing the house of God. Starting at 8 years old now, it had enough sense that God's house has got to be taken care of. However, there needs to be no accounting made with them of the money delivered into their hands, because to deal faithfully. When Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Can y'all shout with me? Hallelujah. And how can I give the book to Shaphan? And he read it. So Shaphan, the scribe, went to the king, bringing king word, saying, your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and delivered it into the hands of those who do the work, who oversee the house of the Lord. Then Shaphan, the scribe, showed the king, saying, Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah, the priest, Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Ekbar, the son of Micaiah, Shaphan, the scribe, and Asai, a servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. So Hilkiah, the priest, Ahikam, Ekbar, Shaphan, and Asaiah went to Huldah. Check it out. They went to a woman, y'all. I'm just saying it. To Huldah, the priestess, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tikvah, the son of Harad, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke with her. Then she said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants, all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be aroused against this place and shall not be quenched. But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord in this manner. You shall speak to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they will become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely, therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamities which I will bring on this place. So they brought back word to the king. You know, and that's the same, pretty much what he told Hezekiah, another good king, that he wasn't going to do all the things that was going to happen in their time. So Josiah got a reprieve. He got a reprieve that what was going on would not happen in his time. We got to understand God is in charge of everything, and everything happens in God's time. And everything that was lost will be found. What was lost shall be found in God's time. This book was lost during the time of the evil king. This book of the law, but it was found in the time of a good king who would do as God did do. And let's just continue reading. So this is a great word. The word of God preaches itself. So many times we want to get up and give a message, and we're going to preach this and preach that. All you have to do is read. The word of God preaches itself. All we have to do is read it and listen, because God is preaching to us and speaking to us and teaching us so that we find what was lost. Dad is always there speaking and teaching and guiding, which is what fathers do. So now the king sent them to gather all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem to him. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and with them all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people took a stand for the covenant, and the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priest of the second order, and the doorkeepers to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the articles that were made for Baal, for Asherah, and for all the hosts of heaven. And he burned them outside Jerusalem, Kidron, and carried her ashes to Bethel. Then he removed the idolatrous priests whom the king of Judah had ordained to burn incense on the high places in the city of Judah and in the places all around Jerusalem. And those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the constellations, and to all the hosts of heaven. And he brought out the wooden image from the house of the Lord to the brook of Kedron outside Jerusalem, burned it at the brook Kedron and ground it to ashes, and threw its ashes on the graves of the common people. Then he tore down the ritual booth of the perverted persons that were in the house of the Lord, where the women were hanging for the wooden image. Ooh. And he brought all the food from the city of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Gibeah to Beersheba. Also, he wrote down the high places at the gates, which were at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which was to be left of the city gate. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places did not come up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they ate unleavened bread among their brethren. This little boy is doing the thing. He's like, he's getting ready to clean some out. And he defiled Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hanan, that no man might take his son or his daughter pass through the fire of Moloch. Then he removed the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun at the entrance of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the officer who was in the court, and he burned the chariots of the sun with fire. The altars that were on the roof, the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars with Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, the king broke down and pulverized there and threw the dust into the brook of Kedron. Then the king defiled the high places that were east of Jerusalem, which were on the south of the Mount of Corruption. Solomon, king of Israel, had built for Ashtaroth, the abomination of the Sidonians, for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, for Malchon, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he broke in pieces the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden image and filled their places with the bones of men. He was high. You can imagine all this idolatry everywhere. Worship of other gods everywhere. This little boy grew up in decadence and perversion. And he was like, I know now what it says, because he had never been taught what God's word is. And when you don't know it, you can't live it. But now he knows it, and he's cleaning house. And it goes on to say, moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place, which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel stand and made both, and the high place he broke down, and he burned the high place and crushed it to powder and burned the wooden image. As Josiah turned, he saw the tombs that were there on the mountain, and he sent and took the bones out of the tomb and burned them on the altar and defiled it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Then he said, what gravestone is this that I see? So the men of the city told him it was the tomb of the man of God who came from Judah and proclaimed these things which you have done against the altar of Bethel. And he said, let him alone, that no one move his bones. So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophets who came from Samaria. Now, remember this story. The prophet came and told him everything that would happen. And God told the prophet, don't go back the way you came. But he went back the way he came because another prophet came and lied to him, prophet liar, came and lied to him. And so he was killed because he disobeyed God. You know, the prophet, you know, you have to be very careful that, you know, somebody giving a prophetic word to you is not giving you a proper lie. And he gave a proper lie. Yes, he was a true prophet, but he proper lied to another prophet who didn't inquire of God before he went back when God had specifically told him, do not go the way you came. And so he was murdered by a lion. But the prophet who did wrong went and got his body, buried his body, and was buried with him. And now everything that he said is coming. And it says, now Josiah, who took away all the shrines of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the king of Israel made to provoke the Lord to anger, and he did to them according to all the deeds he had done in Bethel. He executed all the priests of the high places who were there and on the altars and burned men's bones to them, and he returned to Jerusalem. Then the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of the covenant. Such a Passover surely has never been held since the days of the judges who judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was held before the Lord in Jerusalem. Moreover, Josiah put away those who consulted mediums and spirits, the household gods and idols, all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and Jerusalem, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book of Hilkiah, that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Now, before him, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor after him did any arise like him. Remember, 8 years old when he came into being king of Judah. 8 years old. This 8-year-old brought a new beginning to Judah. Nevertheless, the Lord did not turn from the fierceness of his great wrath, with which his anger was aroused against Judah, because of all the provocation with which Manasseh had provoked him. And the Lord said, I will also remove Judah from my sight as I have removed Israel, and will cast off this city Jerusalem, which I have chosen in the house of which I said, my name shall be there. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? In his day, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went to the aid of the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates, and King Josiah went against him. And Pharaoh Necho killed him at Megiddo when he confronted him. Then his servants moved his body in a chariot from Megiddo, brought him to Jerusalem, and buried him in his own tomb. And the people of the land took Joahaz, the son of Josiah, anointed him and made him king in his father's place. And I did make a mistake. It was not Josiah that sinned. He never sinned against God. He was killed, but he never sinned against God. So please take that as a correction on my part, because some of the other kings who took it, who were there, that took his place, did sin against God. And so as we continue, his son is now about to take his place. Joahaz was 23 years old when he became king, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Lebanon, and he did evil, there we go again, in the sight of the Lord, according to all his father had done. Now, all that his father had done. Now, Pharaoh Necho put him in prison at Riblah in the end of Hamath, that he might be not reign in Jerusalem. And he imposed on the land a tribute of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. Then Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in place of his father Josiah, and changed his name to Joachim. And Pharaoh took Joash and went to Egypt, and he died there. So Joachim gave the silver and gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed the land to give money according to the command of Pharaoh. He exacted the silver and gold from the people of the land, from everyone according to his assistance, to give it to Pharaoh. Necho, Joachim, was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Debudah, the daughter of Peadiah of Ruma. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all his father had done. And you think this one little young man, 8 years old, did all these great things, changed the course of history for Israel and for Jerusalem and for Judah. He did it for both nations that had been divided, did all that he was supposed to do. And yet his descendants don't come out right. Understand. We cannot always judge what our children will do. You can raise your children to be the best they can be. You can have them everywhere in the church service doing all kinds of things, but that does not mean that they will turn out all right. Some do, some don't. In this case, these little young men have been so probably given everything they want that they didn't know. Nobody knows, don't know. That your dad said, this is what we need to do. We want to follow God. But instead, they go back to the ways of their grandfathers and great-grandfathers and the sinful men that was before them. Because to some folks, sin is fun. Now, this king, Josiah, this young man, did what was right. Yes, he died. But he didn't die in sin. And as we go back and see what is happening in this family, you know, it goes on to say, Joachim was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And it gave us his father's name, and that he did evil. And then when we get to chapter 24, it says, and in his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Joachim became his vessel for 3 years.
And he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent him again. He sent against him raiding bands of Chaldeans, bands of Syrians, bands of Moabites, and bands of people of Ammon. He sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord which he has spoken. Understand what God speaks through his prophets. It's coming to pass. Servants of prophets. Surely, at the commandment of the Lord, this came upon Judah to remove them from his sight because of the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he had done, and also because of the innocent blood that he had shed. For he had filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord could not pardon. Now the rest of the acts of Joachim and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So Joachim rested with his father. Then Joachim, his son, reigned in his place. And the king of Egypt did not come out of his land anymore. But the king of Babylon had taken all that belonged to the king of Egypt from the brook of Egypt to the river Euphrates. And then it goes on to tell us, Joachim was 18 years old when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. His mother's name was Nahashta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. And he did evil, here we go again, in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done, not Josiah, but all the ones before him and after. At that time, the servant of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city as his servants were besieging it. Then king of Judah, his mother, his servants, his priests, and his officers went out to the king of Babylon. And the king of Babylon, in the 8th year of his reign, took him prisoner. And he carried out from there all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. And he cut in pieces all the articles of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord has said. Also he carried into captivity all Jerusalem, all the captives, all the mighty men of valor, 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and smiths. None remained except the poorest people of the land. To catch that. And he carried Jehoiachin captive to Babylon, the king's mother, the king's wife, his officers, and the mighty of the land he carried into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon, all the valiant men, 7,000 craftsmen and smiths, 1,000, all who were strong and fit for war. These the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. He got the best and the brightest and left everybody else. King of Babylon made Mattaniah, Joachim's uncle, king in his place, and changed his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Lebna. He also did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. But because of the anger of the Lord, it happened in Jerusalem and Judah that he finally cast them out from his presence. Then Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Understand, every word has a purpose and it's for a reason. What was lost was found in God's time. Josiah was meant to find the book of the law. Unfortunately, his children, children's children, did not follow it. And when we go back to found it in faithfulness. This is a life example that Dr. Stanley has given us this morning for this word. And it says this, the heavy ancient scroll crinkled beneath his fingertips as Josiah began to unroll the book of the covenant. The people of Judah were still gathering before the temple from the least to the greatest. They assembled to hear their king read from the sacred pages which had been lost for many generations. Josiah stood by the northern pillar of the temple, the appropriate place for kings. He glanced at the scroll and then looked south to the other pillar the once bronze-covered column bore the name Joachim, which means he established. Joachim, he established. He considered the strength of this moment a poignant reminder of the power of the Lord God. It was not by man's strength that this nation had been brought into existence. Yahweh had established this nation and had placed David, his ancestor, on the throne. The bronze had been stripped from the pillow, and Josiah was saddened by the desecration. Evil kings and foreign rulers had ransacked the treasures of the temple, dishonoring the sanctuary of Yahweh. The pine paneling, which had been covered with gold, was exposed like the sins of the people. He glanced down at the words of the covenant and sighed. Was Judah beyond the favor of the Lord? Had they sinned so profoundly and welcomed the foreign God so willingly that God would reject them forever? Josiah became king when he was 8 after the murder of his adulterous father, Amon, and he lacked instruction in the ways of the Lord, having no living example. He walked in the ways of his forefather, the great King David. Now the words of the prophetess Hodiah was the encouragement that Josiah needed. Through Hodiah's words, Josiah had been reassured that God had not rejected him. Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard that I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you. God hears us when we repent. God helps us find what was lost when we give it to God. And it's the word that Dr. Stanley has given us. This northern pillar under which Josiah stood was called Boaz, or by him, he is the mighty. Stood here under the canopy of God's protectors to proclaim the covenant of the Lord. Like King David, Josiah's heart was set to rule Judah in a manner honoring to the Lord. He would carry out the commands of the law with the strength Yahweh would give him. So he stood amidst the desolation of the temple. There was a foundation within him that could neither be shaken nor destroyed. So Josiah read from the ancient manuscript with confidence. He committed himself to follow the Lord, keeping all his mandates and decrees, and renew the covenant of his forefathers. All the people before him, from the least to the greatest, pledged themselves to the Lord as well. Josiah's reforms throughout Judah and Samaria were extensive. In fact, his obedience was so great that he stands out in Scripture as one of the most faithful kings, just like David. Before him, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. And did any arise like him? He was better than David because he didn't sin with another man's wife. He followed God completely and totally. A child led them. A child may lead us into doing what we have to do for God. We were all lost at some point in our life by God. And as Dr. Stanley continues, he says, though there may be destruction and despair surrounding you, there is a foundation which stands as a mighty pillar that will never fall. It is God's strength and your resilience upon God and your reliance upon God's trustworthy character that will sustain you when everything else begins to crumble. We've all had our crumbling moments in our life by God. The Lord did not accept Josiah because he had attained the most wealth of military victory. Rather, God accepted Josiah because he was obedient to God's instructions. Josiah put all his trust and hope in the covenant that Yahweh had established, knowing that the Lord would honor his word. When you trust in the faultless character of God and allow his word to dwell in you richly, you will have a foundation established within you that will not be shaken. No matter what trial or oppression You face the foundation of the Lord's love and word is your heart. Will endure in your heart, will endure. And like Josiah, he will help you make your heart tender and humble yourself before the Lord. He will establish you, and by him you will be mighty. And I say by him, what was lost will be found. And if you go back into a life lesson, how can I, the priest, have given me a book? The people of Judah have plummeted to such a scandal that the Bible had practically disappeared. When found, they called it simply a book. But God's word remains strong and reliable, even if ignored. Even if you don't pick it up, except for Sunday morning, at least you're picking something up. You're picking up the basic instruction before leaving Earth. And even if it's just Sunday, you need to pick it up, but you should be reading it or listening to it or getting involved with it every day. God's word will change your life and the trajectory of where you go and where you're coming from. God is in charge, and he will help you find all have a first love. And whatever it may be, trust God to help you fulfill it. And as we go forth, it says this in our word, and we're going to go back to 2 Kings chapter 25. It says, now it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the 10th month, on the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and camped against it. They built a siege wall. You know, they came to destroy Israel. They came to destroy Judah. They came to destroy Ephraim. And they took all the best. You know, and as we continue going through chapter 25, it tells us, so the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah by the ninth day of the fourth month. The famine had become so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land. The city wall was broken through, and all the men of war fled at night away at the gate between two walls, which was by the king's garden. Even though the Chaldeans were still encamped all around against the city, and the king went by way of the fatal plain, of the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king, and they overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and his army was scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Rabbah, and they pronounced judgment on him. Then they killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, put out his eyes. Zedekiah bound him with bronze fetters and took him to Babylon. And in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guards, the servant of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burned the house of the Lord and the king's house, all the houses of Jerusalem. That is, all the houses of the great. He burned with fire, burned Jerusalem down. All the army of Chaldeans who were with the captain of the guards broke down the walls of Jerusalem all around. You know, I remember only one wall was standing. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, carried away captive the rest of the people who remained in the city and the defectors who had deserted to the king of Babylon with the rest of the multitude. But the captain of the guard left some of the poor of the land as vine dressers and farmers, the bronze pillars that were in the house of the Lord, and the carts and the bronze sea that were in the house of the Lord. The Chaldeans broke in pieces and carried away. These things were sacred. And understand, in war, they go for the riches of the land. And they went for the most important part of Judah, the house of God. The fire pans, the basins, the things of solid gold and solid silver, the captain of the guard took away the two pillars of the sea, the carts were Solomon and made for the house of the Lord, the bronze and all the articles were beyond measure. The height of one pillar was 18 cubits, and the capital, and it was a bronze. He took everything. And we go down to verse 18 because the captain of the guard took Sariah, the chief priest of Zephaniah, the second priest, and the three doorkeepers. He also took out of the city an officer who had charge of the men of war, 5 men of the king's closest soldiers, who were found in the city, the chief recruiting officer of the army, who mustered the people of the land, and 60 men of the people of the land who were found in the city. So Nebuchadnezzar, captain of the guard, took things and brought them to the king of Babylon and Rabbah. When the king of Babylon struck them and put them to death and Rabbah in the land of Ammon, thus Judah was carried away captive from its own land. And when you hear people talk about the children of Israel and da-da-da, you guys need to understand the word of God gives you clarity. It tells you everything. Israel was taken. He took everybody practically from the area. He took them all, and he sent them into captivity. No one knows who they belong to. We can all say that we're of this descent, of that descent, but until God allows you to be found, you are lost. We are all lost, but we are all covered by the grace of God. And then it tells us he made Gedaliah, the son of Akim, the son of Shaphat, governor over the people who remained in the land of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had left. Now when all the captains of the army, they and their men heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah governor, they came to Gedaliah of Mizpah, Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, Johanan, the son of Kiriah, Ziriah, the son of Teshumet, the Netophite, and Jezaniah, the son of the Mekahites, they and their men. And Gedaliah took an oath before them, and the men said, do not be afraid of the service of the Chaldeans, dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. But it happened in the 18th month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Ishmael of the royal family, came with 10 men and struck and killed Gedaliah, the Jews, as well as the Chaldeans who were with him, and Mizpah, and all the people, small and great, and the captains of the armies arose and went to Egypt, for they were afraid of the Chaldeans. Now it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Joachim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, released Joachim, king of Judah, from prison. He spoke kindly to him and gave him a more prominent seat than those of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So Joachim changed from prison garments and ate bread regularly before the king all the days of his life. And as of his provision, there was a regular rest given him by the king, a portion for each day of the day. God will even give you favor in your captivity. And that's what happened. He gave favor to one of the kings. And as we always continue in our word on Sunday, you know, we have to understand that God does everything for a purpose and a reason. And when we go, we'll be going into a new book, but we'll be going into it on Tuesday. We'll be in First Chronicles, starting in chapter 1. And we'll do that on Tuesday because time will not permit for us to be able to do this. So we are going to go back and catch some of our words that we have missed in our Old Testament. And that will be from our Psalms. And I just want to remember, just to remind us, that God is important. We bless not blasphemous names. You know, so many times you hear people say things that are blasphemous. We have to be very careful what comes out of our mouth. And sometimes you just need to keep your tongue behind you. If you don't know what to say, don't say anything at all. And this is what it says. Remember this, that the name that the enemy has reproached, O Lord, and that a foolish people has blasphemed your name. Oh, do not deliver the life of your turtle dove to the wild beast. Do not forget the life of your poor forever. Have respect to the covenant. For the dark places of the earth are full of the haunts of wolves. Oh, do not let the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise your name. Arise, O God, plead your own case. Remember how the foolish man reproaches you daily. Do not forget the voice of your enemies. The torment of those who rise up against you increases continually. You got to be careful. God is in charge of everything, and you will find what you need if you choose to look in the right direction and ask God to help you. Psalm 75, the 75th Psalm, verses 1 through 10, it says to the chief priest that you do not destroy a psalm of Asaph, a psalm. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks. Well, thanks to our Father today. For your wondrous works declare that your name is near. When I choose the proper time, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. I set up its pillars firmly. Selah. I said to the boastful, do not deal boastfully. And to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with a stiff neck. For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. But in the hand of the Lord, there is a cup. And the wine is red, fully mixed, and he pours it out. Surely its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink down. But I will declare forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked I will also cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. Hallelujah. God is good. And, you know, and I would say again and again, I'm not being paid to hawk this Bible, but there's so much more in our daily Bible that we just need to read. And, you know, in this Bible, Dr. Stanley breaks everything down for us. You know, he gives us life lessons, life examples. He gives us everything we need to just get through the day. And in today's word, it just says this one more time. God will provide what was lost. You know, God woke me up early this morning because so many times we get caught up in self. And he said, what was lost shall be found in God's time. What was lost shall be found in God's time. So understand, God is in charge of your time. He's in charge of your life. He's in charge of your good things. Keep God first in everything you do. Because, again, Proverbs 19:3 tells us, the foolishness of a man twists his ways, and his heart frets against the Lord. Let us not be foolish today. And I say to you, those that do not have a church home, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Every place is not necessarily where you, God will send you to the place for you. Choose God today. Choose your Heavenly Father. And when you celebrate Father's Day, celebrate God today. Celebrate his love for you. Celebrate the fact that he will always find you, and he will always find whatever it is you need that may be loved. Trust God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And I tell you in all honesty, I've been there, I've felt it, and I know it. He will direct your path. Keep that proverb in your heart, in your mind, and in your spirit. And I love the fact that, you know, we've read our Acts words on Friday. But I tell you this, God wants us to repent. You know, this is what Friday's word says. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Acts 3:19. You know, and I love this, how Dr. Stanley explained it to us. Who does not need time of refreshing? Who does not need a new start, a spiritual renewal, a fresh touch of God on their life? All these things go through an intimate relationship. Get into relationship today. Trusting God today. Loving our Father today. Because I tell you this, with every part of my being, I can tell you, our Father loves us more than anything. And when we pray, it's prayer. What does we say? Our Father. Not my, not yours, but our. We are family. And as family, we need to treat each other as such. Love the unlovable. Pray for the worst of the worst. Lift up and not tear down. And that's not just for you. That's for me as well. And before we get out of here, a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And I do have a prayer this morning. But our prayer, our word for my sister is this. And yesterday's word, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Woo, I love it. Joy is a part of God's presence. Let's declare the joy of the Lord today. And for this morning, Psalm 55, the 55th Psalm, verse 22. Give your burden to the Lord, and he will take care of you. Again, family, whatever is lost in your life, trust God to help you find it. And as we go forth today, remember who you belong to. You belong to God, and God belongs to you. Help us, Father God, to be better today than we were yesterday. In Jesus' name, I lift up the lives and those that listen later. And Father God, I just thank you again for loving us so much that you gave us your son. And our prayer for this morning is this. Contentment. Each of you should continue to live in whatever situation the Lord has placed you and remain as you were when God first called you. 1 Corinthians 7 and 17 NLT. Faithful one, you are so consistent in your love toward me. When I think over the journey that my walk with you has looked like, I see how your faithfulness has followed me every step. I believe that you are working for my benefit, even in the areas that look barren and dry. May my heart find its contentment in knowing you. Whatever circumstances I find myself in, I trust that you are my perfect portion. When I am tempted to run away from the realities of life, meet me with the power of your grace to remain faithfully present. May I stay rooted and grounded in the strength of your love, trusting that you offer everything I need right when I need it. I will not be found lacking, but in you is every possible tool I need ever require. May my heart find its satisfaction in you, my faithful friend. Trust God today. What was lost will be found. Have a blessed day, family. It is Father's Day. Tell Father God, thank you for making me your child. And have a great and wonderful day. Again, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. If they don't open the word of God, stand up, walk out, and keep it moving. Because God got you covered. Have a great day, family. It is a wrap. Love you much. And be blessed.